thank you for that good music. We're in the Acts 16th chapter of the book of Acts today. So if you want to find that place, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, you turn to the New Testament, keep turning to your right through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you'll come to Acts, and we're going to chapter 16. The story involves more verses than I'm going to take the time to read this morning. This is the story of Paul and Silas in jail. All right, so we're going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll get to the rest of the story in the message today. But for sake of time, just a couple of verses. So let's stand together, and we're going to read verses 25 and 26, okay? 25 and 26, and we're going to ask God's blessing on the message and enjoy a song. Why don't you join me on verse 26 as we read? Our Bible says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Our Father, thank you for this great miracle recorded in your word for us. Thank you that we have it here in Bible. We can read it and think about it. We can read it and learn, and then we can reread it and learn more, and read it again and learn more, because your word is inexhaustible. And so, God, please help us now to prepare our hearts for the message, and then open our eyes. Help us to see what we need to see from today's message. And we'll thank you for it. Holy Spirit of God, be with us and amongst us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
When trials come and no one's around you, and it seems like you're all alone, reach for His arms. They'll comfort and keep you. Just trust in Him and embrace the grace. Embrace the grace that God is offering. He feels your hurt and knows your every need. He wants to help you through your trials. Just feel His arms and embrace the grace. When problems come quickly and it seems like there's no way out, He's walked your path and offers you victory. He pleads with you now to embrace the grace. Embrace the grace God is offering. He feels your hurt and knows your every need. He wants to help you through your trials. Just feel His arms and embrace the grace.
Enjoyed it. was a blessing to me. I would say, I asked Brother Bragg, have you heard that before? And he said, yes. And I get up and say, man, that's the first time I've heard that. And inevitably, one of our singers would come and say, Pastor, I sang that 3 months ago. So, I don't know if anybody's sung it here, but have you sung it here before, Dan? I don't know if anybody else has, but that's a great song. I enjoyed that. So maybe that was the first time I heard it. If it wasn't, don't tell me. Let me enjoy it, okay? Let me enjoy thinking it was the first time, okay? I'm going to ask you. You wrote that. You wrote that song. Have you? Well, that's what I asked Brother Bragg if he'd heard it before. You, Big Brother. I saw the chicken scratch he was reading from. And I said, he wrote that. Did you write that song? That's a blessing, wasn't it? Amen. That's a blessing. He wrote it. Praise the Lord. That's good. Now to get that published, Brother Dan, that was good. That was a great song. Wonderful. A song we did for Missions Conference, he wrote. He drives a truck, has a lot of time to think. Beats listening to a CB radio. Ranker, 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 ranker. 10-4, good buddy. Oh, man, Elvis. If you got a CB, I'm happy for you, okay? Oh, mercy. Oh, that was good. All right, very good. I enjoyed it. Now I can say I never heard it before, but now I have heard it. That was a blessing. Well, I'm going to speak on this subject this morning, the fruit of a song at midnight. The fruit of a song at midnight. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Let's talk about the fruit of a song at midnight. Father, thank you for the good song we just heard. It was a blessing to me and the message of it, and to think it came from the heart of Dan. And Lord, what a good thing. That was a blessing. I rejoice in that goodness. Thank you, God, for your grace. And help us to embrace it, Lord. Now be with me. I need your help, O Holy Ghost of God. Be our portion, please, in these moments. And give us what needs to be said. May our ears be ready to receive it, and our hearts as well. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, before I get into Acts 16, let me say this. It was David in the Old Testament, Psalm 40, that gave this testimony about the Lord. Now listen to this. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Remember that? Now, David said God put a new song in his mouth. This was after God had delivered him from the miry clay and brought him up out of a horrible pit and set his feet on a rock and established his goings. So God had blessed and helped David in a wonderful way. And because of that, David had a new song to sing. And he even told us in Psalm 40 what the song was about. He said, even praise to our God. Now listen to what he said. Listen to what he said about this song. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. He said that about his song. He said, God put a new song in my mouth, even praise to His name, to God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. So David testified that many would see God's deliverance. They would fear God because of it, and they would trust in the Lord. And a song of praise in David's mouth would be a great reason that they would have the testimony of God's deliverance. Now, it's interesting what David said about that, because I believe we see that repeated in Paul and Silas's experience here in Acts chapter 16. They sang a song. Many saw it and feared, and some trusted in the Lord because of it. So you got a whole living example of Psalm 40 in Acts chapter 16. Verse number 25, about 25, the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And you know the rest of the story. Many of you, if you're familiar with the Bible, God sent an earthquake in the middle of the night to deliver them. What a testimony to God's ability to deliver His people in difficult times. And again, as with David, the deliverance was associated with a song. A song. The Bible says that these men at midnight, now, it was literally the midnight hour when they began to sing. It was midnight after a long day. But there is some symbolic teaching here for all of us, and that is this. We don't have to be without a song in difficult times. The truth is, if we have a song in difficult times, It is a great testimony and witness of the power and love and care of our great God. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Seeing the fruit of a song at midnight. The fruit of a song at midnight. And I want to look at this song for a little bit this morning. Number one, I want us to notice that it was planted in persecution. It was planted in persecution. Paul and Silas had been arrested and thrown into the prison after they were beaten with many stripes and their feet were locked in those stocks. And listen, the bottom line for this persecution was the love of money. It really wasn't their preaching. It was when their preaching began to interfere with the people's ability to make money that it became a problem. Look back at verse number 16. You'll see here in chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, divination met us." In other words, she had a devil in her. She had a spirit of devil in her, spirit of a devil in her, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, predicting the future like a crystal ball, palm reader. The same followed Paul, this woman followed us, and Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not to her, but to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her the same hour. I told Wednesday night the story about Brother Cox, about a man that Brother Cox introduced us to in North Carolina who had to cast the devil out of a 17-year-old girl. That's real, folks. Okay, so he cast the devil out of her, verse 18. Now look at verse 19. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, their ability to make money." She had one of those, shops set up on the side of the road, tarot card, palm reader, crystal ball. By the way, folks, you ought not go within 1,000 miles of a place like that. It's nonsense. It's of the devil. Okay? And so now the shop is closed because she got saved. Amen. And there's no more money to be made. And so here came these men. Here came the accusations. And here came the protests. And then came the trouble. And all because this woman got saved. And the next thing you know, they are in prison with their feet in stocks. Now hear me this morning. The melody, the song in their heart did not come at the conclusion of a great citywide revival. The song in their heart did not arise from receiving a $500 love offering. That's not why they were singing. No, sir. It came after receiving, the Bible says, many stripes, after they were put into the inner prison where those that were on death row were kept, after their feet were put in stocks. Their song came after they were persecuted. In fact, their song was planted in persecution. Now, most of us would have thrown a great, huge, big pity party. Most of us. I bet you I would have, because I know myself. I would have questioned God's goodness. I would have questioned God's power. I would have questioned God's plan. I would have questioned all about the Lord, but not these men. They had a song planted in their heart, and it was put there in the midst of persecution. And I have to believe, friend, that God planted that song in their heart because that's what David said. David said when he was in the pit, when he was stuck up in the miry clay, that God put a song in him. And I believe that God does the same for you and me. I believe that in persecution, I believe in trials. I believe in testings. I believe that God puts a song in our heart. I believe that with all my heart. I remember Jack Patterson. I've told you this before. I remember Jack Patterson talking about Brother Roloff, who was, and you know, we forget, those of us who knew Brother Roloff and were exposed to his ministry, forget he's been gone since 1980, 81, 82, somewhere in there. We have a whole generation of kids who have no idea who Lester Roloff is. I think it was Cherith was asking me the other day about Lester Roloff and why he was in jail so many times and why he was in trouble. And you know, I knew about that because I was saved and in church when it was going on, but she had no idea. And Lester Roloff was one of those times he was in jail down in Corpus for not taking a license. from the state because his ministry was his boys and girls homes were a ministry of his church, and he didn't need the government to put their stamp of approval on it. Separation of church and state did not mean that the church should keep its nose out of the government's business. The separation clause was to keep the government out of the church's business. The devil's turned that thing 180 degrees. And Brother Roloff was in jail. Jack Patterson was down there at the lighthouse. He got about 25 or 30 boys together. I don't know how many boys he got together. It might be thinking about the other number. He got a group of boys together. And he said, we're going to go over to the jail and we're going to see Brother Roloff. Now, I want you to smile. I don't want you to cry. I don't want you to put a long face on because we're going to encourage him. We're going to sing and quote scripture. And we're going to encourage Brother Roloff because he's been in jail. And so he got those guys all pumped up, took a couple van loads over there to the local jail. And of course they knew him. He told the jailer he'd like to see Brother Roloff. And they started walking back through these hallways, JP said. And they were turning corners. And he said the further back they walked in that jail, they heard some singing. He said they came around the corner into a great big open room. And here was Lester Roloff in his prisoner suit, standing on a chair with a King James Bible in his hand, over his head, and about 40 or 50 men surrounding him and singing, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." So J.P. said, Jack Patterson said, he said, we went there to encourage him, and he encouraged us. You know why that is? Because God put a song in his heart. God put a song in his heart. That's what God will do for us. God puts a song in our heart. And this song was planted in persecution. Let me hasten to say number two. I want you to see that it was only planted in persecution. It was fertilized in prayer. It was fertilized in prayer. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang." Notice that the singing did not come until they first prayed. The song was already planted in their heart, but no one could see it. Maybe even Paul and Silas were unaware that it was there until they began to pray. And as I said a moment ago, instead of questioning God, they prayed, and it was through prayer that God fertilized that song. You see, people, in times of difficulty, prayer in times of difficulty, prayer at the midnight hour has great effectiveness. It'll keep us from getting bitter. It will keep us from getting hard. It will keep us from getting cold toward God. You've heard it said. I heard some say years ago. Somebody said trials, testings, persecution will either make us bitter or better. And that's true. If you've been through a season of testing or trial, you know that you came out on the other side of that thing either bitter at God or better for God. And I have to believe that the one that comes out of a trial better is the one who employed the power of prayer in the midnight hour. Friend, I want to tell you something. Now hear me. If you're going through a test or a trial or some type of persecution right now, listen, there is something medicinal about prayer when you are in a bind. I'm not going to be ugly. I'm not going to question what some people have to have and what other folks have to. But let me tell you something, friend. The answer to your bind is not always found in a prescription bottle. Boy, we've reared that in our day and age, everything. Hey, child of God, let me tell you something. There's something very medicinal about prayer. Yes, sir. Something medicinal about prayer. When we get pressured and we get stressed and when the squeeze is on and when the trials come, the testing, you can look many different directions to find help. You know, some people look out. That is, they try to find help for the difficulty from others. They frantically run here and there, and they're talking and they're texting and they're making phone calls and they're talking to this person and talking to that person, and somebody needs somebody to listen to. Thank you for letting me cry on your shoulder. You know, I'm not against that. Sometimes that is a help, but more often than not, you're not going to find lasting comfort in looking out. Sometimes you might find what Job said, "Miserable comforters are you all." They came to try to help him. And Job was, so look out. You can look out. Not only that, sometimes we look in.
and we try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we try to muster together the strength to endure a little bit longer and just get through this and hang in there. And that's, you know, that's needed sometimes, but sometimes that doesn't produce a whole lot of help either. And I want to tell you what direction you can look. Instead of looking out and looking in, why don't you look up? That is when we get some help. When we pray, when we tap into the grace, when we tap into the mercy, when we tap into the love and the power and the wisdom of Almighty God, friend, I can't tell you how many times I have prayed in the middle of pressure and stress, only to find God was everything that I needed. And I can't tell you how many times after that season of prayer that it ended in a burst of song. I'm serious as a heart attack. I mean, brother, a time of stress and pressure, and you're driving down the road, and you're behind the steering wheel, and the tears are coming down your cheeks, and you're saying, oh, God, and you're pouring out your heart and begging Him for His help and begging Him for His power, and all of a sudden, there is the reality of a presence in that car, a sweet and precious presence that brings comfort, that brings happiness, that brings joy, that brings encouragement, and before you know it, you're singing about God's goodness and God's grace. That's what I'm talking about. You see, the song is planted in your heart. Prayer fertilizes it. Prayer fertilizes it. Prayer makes it grow. You see, the song was already planted in Paul and Silas's heart, but it would never grow until they fertilized it with prayer. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you in a difficult situation? Are you filled with some bitterness or some anger? You say, Pastor, I have no song. There is no melody in my heart. Well, I got a question for you. Have you prayed? Have you prayed? Have you prayed? Okay, so you called your best friend on the phone and poured your heart out and wept on the... Okay, that's wonderful. And so you came this morning because you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps and brought yourself out of bed and... Okay, I'm glad for that, but friend, look, looking out and looking in don't fertilize the song that's planted in your heart, but looking up will fertilize the song that is in your heart. Have you prayed? Have you wept? On your knees or in your bedroom or out for a walk, have you looked up, lifted your eyes toward heaven and poured your soul out to your heavenly Father, to the God of all comfort? I want to tell you something, friend. There's a song in your persecution. There is a song in your trial. There is a song in your test. Water it with some fertilizer. The fertilizer of prayer. The fertilizer of prayer. So this song was planted in persecution. Number two, it was fertilized in prayer. Let me hear you say number three this morning. This song blossomed into praise to God. It blossomed into praise to God. Verse number 25, the Bible says that they prayed and then they sang. But they didn't sing about the blues. They didn't sing, that wasn't some soul-searching blues song, friend. They sang praises unto God. This song that blossomed out of their heart was a song of praise. Like old Roloff there on that chair, blessed be the name of the Lord. How many times we come out of prayer closet, come out of your prayer time, and you come out of prayer time singing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Oh, yeah. To worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. I'm talking about the song. It gets fertilized in prayer. It blossoms into a song of praise to God. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will bring me home. What a display of God's grace, friend, to sing praises in the prison, to sing praises at midnight, to sing praises when they're bound in chains and their feet in stocks. And I'll tell you something. That's the difference in our God and all false gods. Because when it's the midnight hour of my life and your life, our God is there. Don't you feel sorry for the man steeped in Islamism? Worshiping a false God that doesn't exist? You know what he does with his grief and his bitterness and his anger? He flies buildings into airplanes. That's what he does. Straps a bomb on his belt and blows people up. It's a gospel of hatred, murder, and killing. That doesn't happen to Christian people. No, sir. Because our God's there. You see, we got a God for the midnight hour. We got a God for, we got a faith for the midnight hour. We got a faith for the difficult times. We got a faith for the lonely times. We got a faith for the difficult, the hard times. We got a faith for the tests. No matter where they were in prison, no matter when it was at midnight, no matter what, they were in chains and stocks. Their God was present with them. Their song broke out into a praise to God, blossomed into praise to God. But now, wait a minute. The title of the message is The Fruit of a Song at Midnight. It was planted in persecution. It was fertilized in prayer. It blossomed into praise. And I want to say number four this morning, and I'm not going to preach long on this, but this is basically the message. It produced fruit. Didn't it? Just like old David said, many shall see. Look at it. Produced. Look at these prisoners heard them. Look at verse number 25. And the prisoners heard them. You know, I had this thought this week when I was thinking about this passage. And this, you talk about being down in the valley. You talk about being low. But the truth of the matter is, friend, if the only time you and I could sing, if the only time God gave us a song was on the mountaintop, who would see it? How many folks can be on the mountaintop with you? That's the peak, right? The peak only has place for three or four people, maybe. But I want to tell you something. When you're in the valley, that's where common people live. That's where people who are hurt, that's where people full of doubt, that's where people who are needy, that's where people who are searching. I want to tell you something, friend. There's no scarcity of people in the valley. And when God puts a song in our heart in the valley, and you and I fertilize that song with prayer, and then it blossoms into praise to God, and people see it. There are people everywhere to see that song, people everywhere to hear that song, people everywhere to be helped by that song. What a testimony! What a testimony! To have a song in the prison. Now maybe these prisoners were accustomed to being there. Maybe they were like old Otis. You remember Otis? Remember old Otis on Andy Griffith? That's who you're talking about. That's who you're talking about. Otis. Oh, I'm talking about Otis. I mean, what other Otis is there in life? You know anybody named Otis? Brother Ballard. He said, my name's Cecil Ballard. He said, yep, it's Cecil. He said, nobody's named Cecil. He said, I don't know why my folks didn't name me Robert or Jim or Jack and Cecil. I don't know any Otises. Only one I ever knew was on Andy Griffith. I know Otis would just go check himself into the jail. Walk in, Andy and Barney in there sitting at the desk. Go over and get the key, let himself in. Lock it behind. Maybe they were accustomed to being there. I don't know. Maybe it was their first time. Maybe they visited there before, but I want to tell you something, friend. All the other nights in the prison had passed without much commotion, but not this night. Not this night. You know what they were used to hearing? They were used to hearing cursing. They were used to hearing God's name in vain. Horrible things hollered out. And at midnight, I mean at midnight, they're all in that prison. And they heard them two old boys begin to sing. Who knows if Paul and Silas could carry a tune in a bucket. They sang. Don't you know they wondered, what in the world? What kind of nuts are in here? What kind of goofballs have come into prison tonight? This is crazy. But on the heels of that song, that old jail cell began to shake and shake and shake, and the earthquake came, and all their chains and all their bonds and all their stocks were loosed, and those prisoners were free. That all happened in verse 26, 27, 28, 29, all that down. The keeper of the prison, you know what he did? The keeper of the prison, he grabbed a sword and he got ready to kill himself because he thought they're all gone. And Roman law was, man, if I'm watching people who are on death row and they get away, my life for theirs. Paul hollered out and said, do yourself no harm. Everybody is here. And that jailer came in. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you stopped to meditate and think about a jailer in the middle of the night falling on his knees and asking the question, what must I do to be saved? It's not a normal question. You know, 31 years of ministry, I don't know, if maybe once or twice I've had people ask me, hey, what do I need to do to be saved? This guy fell on his knees and he asked the question, what do I need to do to be saved? You see, friend, I am convinced he had heard their song of praise. He had been there when they were put, when they were beaten with many stripes. He was there when they put those bloodied bodies in the stocks. Possibly he had even heard them preaching on the street. Friend, God used these men and their song to bring conviction to this man's heart. You know what he knew? You know what he knew? He knew these men had something he did not have. And that's the fruit of a song at midnight. Anybody can cuss. Anybody can complain. Anybody can grouse. Anybody can murmur. Anybody can find fault. But at midnight, in the stress and the pressure and the test and the trial, when you blossom into a song of praise because you fertilize that song in prayer, people are going to see this is not normal. You go to work, start cussing and using all kind of foul language because you're having a stressful time. You know what everybody will do? Join in with you. Yeah. And I agree too. This blankety blank this, and this blank country and blank, blank, blank. That's normal. But you go to work and somebody knows your co-worker or you're living with your wife or living with your husband or have lost relatives and lost neighbors and they know you're going through the squeeze. They know you're being put to the grinder and you're being tested. I mean, maybe it's something that people are aware of. And you put a song, you come by singing a song with a smile on your face. That's not normal. What do you have that I don't have? What's inside of you that's not inside of me? And that's exactly what happened here. This jailer fell on his knees and cried, "What must I do to be saved?" And he got saved. And he went down to the house and they told his wife and his children, and the whole family was saved. They were baptized and became a part of the church at Philippi. You see, friend, down through time, God has used people who found songs in their hearts in difficult times. God used those songs to be a testimony. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. By the way, that's a tough book. Some of those old boys went to the stake because of their belief in Christ. I don't mean the S-T-E-A-K. I mean the S-T-A-K-E, the stake, the fire. They strapped their bodies to those stakes and a big pile of faggots and sticks all around them and set fire to it. And many of them would go quoting Scripture. And then as the fire began to lick their bodies, they would break out in song to God. Think about that. Mercy days, what a testimony. What a witness. That's exactly what happened in this jail cell. That's exactly what David talked about back in Psalm chapter 40. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Let me tell you something. Listen very carefully. That's exactly what's going on right now. For some of you. Some of you who are in a time of trial. Some of you who are in a time of testing. Some of you who are in a time of stress. And you've prayed about this matter. And God put a song in your heart. And you've prayed and been with God. And He's given you the oil of comfort and consolation. And you've got a smile on your face. Let me tell you. I want just to encourage you this morning. Your neighbors are watching. Your lost relatives are watching. Your co-workers are watching. Yes, they are. They may not say anything right now. But I want to tell you something. When the earthquake breaks out, they might. They sure might. So just keep on singing. Keep on singing. And keep on praying. And find that song that God put in your heart and fertilize it in the prayer closet. It'll break out into praise to God and you'll be a witness. The fruit of a song at midnight. In fact, let me say this. Now I'll wrap it down. Wrap it up. Maybe there's some of you in this room this morning. The whole idea of coming to church, you came because you know what? There's something different about people who carry a Bible and go to church. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Not sure that you're saved. Yet you know somebody. You say, you know, Pastor, I work with somebody. Down the road, somebody lives, one of my neighbors, one of my relatives, has a song in their heart. They're going through a difficult time and I don't understand it. Let me explain it to you. God put it there. And they prayed about it. And their prayer has fertilized that song, and that song blossomed into a song of praise. And God's using their song to speak to your heart because God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. The Christian friend, you hang in there. The fruit of a song at midnight. It's there. It's in your heart. You pray about it. You fertilize it. You pray and ask God to help you. It'll blossom into a song. It will produce fruit. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening today. God bless you for being here. All right. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I wonder this morning who would say, Pastor, as you're preaching the Word of God to my heart this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to me. And I'm going through a test. I'm going through a difficult time right now, a trial. And to be honest with you, I haven't found the song yet. Maybe it's because you haven't prayed. You say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. I want to find that song that's planted in my heart. If I need to fertilize it with prayer, I want it to bring fruit. Pray for me. I needed that this morning. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room? I appreciate that. Yes, 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 yes. I see your hands. Many. God bless you. Thank you for that. Amen. Amen. You pray about it. You take it to the Lord. You know, to get some time alone with God. Fertilize that song in prayer. It'll blossom for you. You'll break out of a prayer closet someday, going down the road or in the house with a song that praises God. Somebody else said, Pastor, I should have raised my hand just then, but I didn't, but that's the truth. I need to do that. Pray for me. Somebody else? Yes. Somebody else? Yes. Somebody else? I want to include you? Yes. I see you. God bless you. All right. Now let me ask this today. I wonder who would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'm going to spend eternity because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and I know it. I'm not ashamed of it. Would you raise your hand, please? Just slip it up. I'll just ask you to slip your hand up right back down. Anybody like that? Okay, very good. Thank you. Many, many hands. Is there somebody here today, Pastor? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Couldn't raise my hand just then. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'm going to pray for you this morning. Just slip your hand up. Put it right back down, front to back, side to side. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that today? Anybody? Anybody? We'll pray for you. Won't call you out. Just pray for you. All right? Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I've not taken that first step of obedience. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Saved, but not baptized yet. Raise your hand. We'll pray for you this morning. Somebody like that? Pastor, I've been saved, but I haven't been baptized yet. I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Anybody? Just keep your hand up for a moment. All right. Now, if you've been saved and baptized and you've visited with us about church membership, you know this is the place God wants you to become a member, then this is a good time to join if God's telling you to do that. If you need to set up a time, this is a good time to come to one of these men and say, I need to talk to somebody about membership. And we'll get that done. All right. I pray, Heavenly Father, for folk in the room today that raised their hands. Oh, God, I pray. Those going through a difficult time, a stressful situation, a little temptation or trial or test, God, I pray that you'll help them to find the song that's planted in their heart. And I pray it'll be fertilized through prayer. It'll blossom into a song of praise to you. It'll produce fruit. Many shall see it and be glad and trust in the Lord. I know that jailer was glad the day he got saved, his wife and children, because Paul and Silas prayed and sang at the midnight hour. Help us this morning. I pray for any in this room that are not saved. I pray for any who need to be baptized. I pray for those that need to make a decision about joining the church. I pray that you'll have your way in this invitation. God, speak to the hearts now, especially those that raised a hand. In Christ's name I ask it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you raised your hand and you asked for prayer, in a moment when we stand, the ladies begin to play, you ought to step out and just kneel at the altar and say, God, thank you for speaking to my heart. Help me to go home. Help me to go home and find the song that you planted in my heart.